For the weekly feed, Callum Boyes, he's the national food and drink writer for Fairfax and, well, not Fairfax anymore, Nine.
Nine Knee Fairfax.
Yes. You are a writing food man and you are here in the studio with us.
Yes, I don't know how it's going to affect my job, but I think it'll be fine. We're the most read section of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age.
There you go.
And good food, so I think we'll be pretty safe for a while. I don't think Nine's going to do much to Wars editorial for some time.
Oh, well, that's good.
I look forward to working with them and using all their resources and studios and podcasting equipment and doing some cool stuff in the new year, to be honest. It should be a bit of fun.
Well, that is good.
Yeah, as long as they keep me away from the Today Show.
That's the bar.
Yeah, I can see myself not on like the good Today Show, but like the dodgy one that comes on at 9:30.
Yeah.
Like, hey, 34-year-old bachelor, like, what's your tip for using leftover chicken mince?
It's like, well, have I got a recipe for you?
Yeah.
Well, before we dive into what we're talking about this week, I have a fun story for you from over the holidays.
Hit me.
This is the first time I've seen you since the new year. Mm. So just before we hit the end of the year in 2018, you came in and did a segment about things you should never serve at dinner parties. And you were talking about things that should not be served.
Yes, much like today's topic, but anyway.
And I that was all well and good. I went home for Christmas, and when I first got home, my mum was really excited, and she's like, I've made lunch. Okay, great. And she comes out with a plate of everything that you had told us not to serve.
Oh, good on you. Our listeners, Tessa showed me a photo here of pigs in blankets, a.k.a. Frankfurt's in wrapped up in bread.
There's vol-au-vents.
What's in the vol-au-vents?
I think it was chicken mince of some description.
Well, I know all about that.
Of some description. And little prunes in bacon, which my brother hated.
Devils on horseback?
Yep. It was great.
Oh, good. I did say that. Well, I had mum's retirement party that night. And up in Newcastle, drove up, all well and good. And then she's on stage like, oh, thanks for Callan for driving up. Some of you may have read his article today in the Sydney Morning Herald. And so Callan, pretty sure all the function food tonight is everything you hate. My son, the food stop, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for driving. So that was good. That was a good day.
That's amazing. what are we actually speaking about this week?
We are talking about not party food we don't want to see anymore, but going into the new year, just items on menus that we don't want to see anymore. And by we, I mean myself and other members of the Good Food Guide Senior Review Panel. So that's Jill DePlay, Terry Durack from The Herald, and then Rosalind Grundy, who's the Good Food Guide editor down in Melbourne at The Age. Now, it goes without saying, always with these lists, truffle oil is on there. That's, I think, for the 27th year running now, we've been complaining about truffle oil in restaurants, and most chefs in the city are pretty good, but you get outside a 10-kilometre district and you gourmet cafes and restaurants, oh, they bloody love it still.
What is it? I see it written on so many menus.
Yes.
What is it?
It's not made from truffles.
I didn't think it probably was.
Sometimes you will get some oil that's infused with truffles, but the stuff that I'm talking about, 99% of it on the market is pretty ordinary stuff made in a lab, just with the chemical compounds, whatever gives truffle their scent. I can't go into the science behind it, but they distill that down into a chemical format and make a kind of fake truffle oil out of it. It's not good. It smells like the socks under a teenager's bed, and I hate it. But truffle chips, truffle palms and chips are a big thing. They started about 5 or 6 years ago. Oh, they're the worst. It's a very good way to ruin a very, very perfectly fine chip. Anyway, so truffle oil.
Chefs,
stop using it. No one likes it. No one. No one likes it. Anyway, tell you what Jill DePlay doesn't like, though. Freeze-dried raspberries.
Oh, I can get behind those.
Really? Yeah, I don't hate them as much as Jill does. I've been out for dinner with her before, and when the chef comes, or the waiter, sorry, is any allergies, she just says freeze-dried raspberries.
That's one way to make sure you don't get
served them. Yeah, and I hope that the word will get out that they're not good. But she's right. Some of them do have a very cloying kind of sweetness that hits the back of your throat, and they don't really taste like raspberries at all. She reckons if you've got a surplus of raspberries, don't freeze dry them. Not that we all have freeze dries at home, but anyway, use them in a raspberry jam instead. So, yeah.
My mum does that just to continue on talking about cool stuff my mum does. My mum makes raspberry jam out of them, so I can confirm that that is a decent way to use up all the extra fruit.
Yeah, okay. Have you ever made your own jam?
I haven't because I'm too scared.
Yeah. Of killing yourself from botulism or whatever
just,
it is?
Yeah, look, myself, everyone else, someone.
Oh, it's a lot of effort. It's a lot of effort making jam anyway. Fun, and it's good in the long run, but yeah, I'll probably never do it again. Anyway, so Jill also said any drink with a plastic straw in it in 2019, we don't need to see anymore, which I'm inclined to agree. There's so much press out there about why these little turtle choking straws are a bad thing, and there's no reason for a restaurant to be using them. If you've got a disability and you need a straw, then by all means, they should be available on request, but just design your drink. Do not need a straw at all. For the most part, here's something. I was in Adelaide last week and I ordered a cocktail and an Aperol spritz and it came out and the waitress said, you're not a celiac, are you? And I said, no, I can have gluten. That's fine. It's Aperol. She's like, oh no, the straw is made of pasta.
Oh.
So that's a thing.
Would it get soggy?
I think it's a, I don't think it's the kind of stuff you buy on the shelf.
Okay.
It's a very, very hard, durable pasta and hollow. So you can, yeah. Crazy. I hadn't seen that before, I guess, in this anti-plastic world that we're living in. You're looking at other ways to suck up your Aperol. It was not good.
What, the pasta or the Aperol?
Cocktail was fine.
Okay. the pasta.
But it just felt weird, like sucking a drink out of bloody spaghetto.
I don't like that.
Is that the singular of spaghetti? Spaghetto?
Spaghetto.
I don't know. We digress. But yeah, I think it's one of those things we'll be looking back in about, 10 years. Like, remember in 2019 when people were serving cocktails with pasta stuck in them?
It'll be wild. It'll be like looking back at silly bands or something from 2009.
Well, I don't know what that is.
Just those little animal shapes. Never mind.
Okay, good. Moving on. Terry Durack hates loaded fries.
No, these are the best. What are you talking about?
Loaded for, as he says, there's more fun ways to get fat.
Okay, all right.
I agree with you on that. I don't hate the loaded fry if you've got a fork. Yeah. If they're all covered in mince and cheese and all that kind of stuff and you got to stick your mitts in there, it can get a bit gross.
I will admit the loaded fries, there's a few different fast food outlets doing loaded fries at the moment. Tried that once. We'll never do that again. The fast food ones... not awesome.
Not the best quality ingredients.
The cafe ones are fine.
That can be all right. I don't mind. If you put some spring onion, shallots or whatever, just a little bit of acid or something like that to kind of cut through all the stodge, they can be pretty good. Halal snack packs, they were a big thing.
Ooh, yeah.
A little while ago, which is just loaded fries, really.
Pretty much.
Here's another thing. In Adelaide, they don't have halal snack packs, which are just chips covered in all the kebab meat and
cheese.
Three kinds of sauces and cheese. They do have them in Adelaide, but they're called AB packs. And they've been around since the 70s, and I did some research into what AB stands for, and I can't repeat it on air. And but by all means, listeners, go and research that and be disgusted as I was about how this is still on signs everywhere in Adelaide, the AB pack.
Oh, dear.
Crazy. We'll talk about this after, Jess. Terry also hates white anchovies because they don't taste of anchovy, they just taste of vinegar. Controversial opinion. Terry doesn't like steamed buns. They're steamed like bao buns that Restaurant Momofuku did a while ago with the idea of the pork belly on them.
I like those, but my brother was in Sydney recently and I was like, you've got to come eat these steamed buns. They're the best. I'm taking you out for steamed. I can't believe you never had steamed buns. And he didn't even make it through one. He was just like, you have the worst taste and I'm going and getting something else.
They
bye.
Can be great, but a lot of places they're just kind of flabby and lazy and not what they used to be. Terry also doesn't like pulled pork.
How?
Overcook a massive piece of pork, he says, and shred it so Grandpa can eat it without his teeth.
Talking
high skill levels here. I said to him when he submitted that to me, because I edited this story, I said, Terry, you're going to attract a lot of very upset American barbecue people.
Yeah.
Because they would say it takes a lot of skill.
Yep.
He stuck to his guns on that. Here's what I think needs to go off menus, gold leaf and gold dust. What a stupid thing.
Actually, I'm with you on that one. It's just shiny food colouring, isn't it?
It's not new. It's made out of actual gold.
That can't be good
for you. It's going to be bloody expensive. I think it's fine. I think it's pretty neutral.
I think it's fine ingesting.
It must be
metal.
Okay. It's like radio, you know, like radiation. Just, yeah, just fine for you in small amounts. You just don't want to spend too much time around it. That could be not true at all. Anyway, but like it's so expensive. So you can spend a lot of money on like in these little gold leaf supplements. And some restaurants, we don't have it in Australia, but I know in like Bahrain, UAE, whatever, they'll have like gold covered steaks and that kind of thing you can buy. It's just kind of gross. I'm seeing more of it around, but it tastes like nothing. Like it literally tastes like nothing. It has no taste. It's a neutral taste. Like nothing.
It's gonna give nothing. Someone Go. Some sort of metal poisoning.
Maybe. I mean, if you want to spend bloody $2,000 on a gold covered steak, then you know, buy beware. As far as I'm concerned, probably one less idiot in the world. Shh. But yeah. Anyway, yeah. Better off buying magic beans, X-ray glasses, or as I said in the paper this week, homeopathy supplements. Oh, I got some emails.
Ooh, yeah, that would have gotten you a couple of angry emails.
A lot of crazies came out of the woodwork for that. Maybe you should stick to writing about what you know, Cal, and fish and chips. Stay away from homeopathy.
I don't want those emails, so I'm not saying anything.
I didn't bite. I was like, oh man. It's like, I don't want to get in an email war with these idiots. It's like, give me your peer-reviewed articles on homeopathy. Anyway, that's another show. Ros Grundy from The Age does not like turmeric lattes.
This has come up a few times segment as just terrible examples of bad things.
Food writers will keep banging on about them until they disappear. Yes. Roz says, I like to keep my curry and my lassi separate, thanks. I was reading an interview with Yota Modelenghi, who's in Australia at the moment, our favourite London-based Israeli vegetable-loving chef, and even he said, they're not that good.
Wow, that's when you know it hasn't passed the bar.
Yeah, he has some influence, that bloke. He sold out the Opera House.
Wow.
2,500 tickets sold out on Tuesday when he was here in Sydney. He's doing Town Hall in Melbourne tonight. And he's not even cooking. People are just coming to hear him speak.
He's just slamming on turmeric lattes.
Yeah. Well, if it was him for an hour, I would pay good money to watch Yota Modelenghi just throw shade on turmeric lattes for an hour and then sign a book. That'd be great. And how long have we got? Because I can keep going.
We can squeeze probably one or two more in.
All right. Roz says shared plates that aren't suited to sharing. This is one thing that does upset me. It's like, oh, you know, you get the young waiters like, all our fish, all our food's designed to share, and you know, try the fish, it's dope or whatever. And then they come out, and you need like microsurgery tweezers to share them between you. They're not plates built for sharing. That really, really upsets me. And can we have the good old days where it was just an entree, a main, and if you're still hungry, you could get a dessert.
Fancy.
Yeah, what a good time that would have been to live in. Noisy seasonal and local claims, but then you've got asparagus on the menu in autumn and tomatoes in the depths of winter. That always upsets me. Always upsets me when restaurants also, and wine lists or restaurants will go on about, oh, we try to support our local farmers as much as we possibly can. And then you've got a wine list and it's all stuff from, you know, Spain or Italy.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, the fine print.
It's always the fine print.
And lastly, because... you know, it's not a good food segment without mentioning smashed avocado. But yeah, Roz Grundy, this isn't my opinion, but Roz says smashed avo. Can we please have a break from avocado on toast? I need a better reason to get out of bed, get dressed, and go out for breakfast.
That's fair. I have taken to just, you know, if you want avocado, make it at home. The avocados for a while there, you could get them for like...
Yeah.
They were relatively cheap-ish for avocados for a while there, as opposed to like... $8.
It's not hard to do a cracking avocado on toast at home.
It's not.
And people always say to me, like, oh, where's your favourite place for breakfast in Sydney? It's like in bed.
I concur. I would have to agree with that.
I don't want to deal with breakfast crowds and lineups. Are you mad? Just get a nice bit of sourdough, some avocado, some good French cheese, whatever. Go back to bed and watch Netflix. That's a ripper Saturday morning.
You're not going to go out and order a turmeric latte?
No, I'd rather shoot myself in the foot.
And on that note, thanks so much, Callum.
Thanks, Tess.
Callum Boyes with the weekly feed for another week. There you go. Things to remove from menus. So if you've got a menu or any influence over a menu, there you go. There's some sage advice.